So I'm going to say a few things, and then I'm going to let you think about it, and then I'm going to call on some people. This is going to start with people on Zoom, and it is, what were some of the shortcomings of Philip we learned from our class last week? So think about that. But I will also probably call on any of you. So to let you think about it, I'm going to waste time for y'all while you're thinking and say, welcome back, Amy. Good to see you. And it's good to see Mike Gentry, as usual, my dear brother. We're going to have a good time. Some of y'all know that Mike's going to Ireland, but he's also, my first trip is, we're going to not do a conference in Ireland, we're going to do it in Belgium, and then come to Ireland, and so in Belgium, Mike is coming with me, and he's going to get to meet, he knows some of the people, but he's going to get to meet some more, and looking forward to that, and our time together, and, you know, if we get stranded over there somewhere with people that love us, yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm with you, brother. All right. So, the question already, oh, that's not mine. The question was, what did you learn in school today? No, what did you learn about Philip? And just a general picture, what was that? So I'm going to call on Zoom people first. Let's see. Caitlin. She's like, okay, unmute. There you go.
I think one of the things was that he did not leave the believers that he was ministering to receive the Holy Spirit.
Okay, good.
Even though that had just happened.
Yeah, and that's a that's a huge thing. It's a huge thing. This is still early in the book of Acts, and that was the big seminal thing that took place was the coming of the Holy Spirit, and not just the coming of the Holy Spirit, but the fact that he's leading them to know Jesus. So that's a big one. Mike, you got something?
I was also going to say, he was not filled with the Holy Spirit, it appears. And
yeah.
He was not very good at discernment.
Because he might not have been filled with the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit, yeah.
Yeah, so for those of you who might not have heard that, Mike said that Philip may not have been filled with the Holy Spirit, but that he, you know, apparently lacked discernment. Okay, and anyone can talk around those two points, even though they've already been mentioned. There are things around the points if you want to do that. So let's see. I think I will go ahead and look to the room now. I'll read the room. Mallory, you stand for your family who's on there, so we can get three people. Come on up. So you can't stand your family, so come on up.
I can stand my family. I love my family. What affected me about Philip's shortcomings was this, on the side of discernment that Mike had just mentioned, is that Simon was attracted to greatness, and he was deceiving people into thinking that he was great, and he received the Lord when everyone else received the Lord, and then he followed Philip around, impressed with the miracles. So there was a real lack of the cross that had been ministered to him, and I think that was kind of on Philip too. So,
yeah, that lack of the cross, obviously we'll get into that more because we'll bring in a contrast first with Paul and Philip, which hopefully we'll do tonight, and then with Stephen and Philip. So Anybody else want to have something you'd like to share or say? Yeah, come on.
There seemed to be a similarity on how he drew people in and how Simon drew people in. The people gave heed because they were seeing the miracles, so they were drawn to the supernatural. So it sounds like he probably or may not have been sharing the cross or sharing Christ. They were impressed because then later it says they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, also to Simon. So this giving heed in a seemed to be, I don't know. I just saw the similarities. Lack of Christ.
No, that, I mean, I didn't really see it exactly like that, meaning it's true, and thanks for bringing it out. But, you know, that's one reason why I ask people to give, you know, some of the things they've seen, because I didn't see it exactly like that. Not that it, you know, my wording is not coming out right here. I didn't see that. So thank you. Anybody else? Yeah.
Hey, Randy.
Yes. Yeah, Geraldine, go ahead.
And when they were picking them, they picked Stephen and Philip, but it said when they picked Stephen that he was full of wisdom of the Lord. And it didn't say anything about Philip. So Stephen just stayed low and served tables. But Philip left and set up his own church, which was very unwise because he wasn't ready yet.
Praise the Lord. Well, that's right. I mean, all these things, we believe in miracles. We believe in raising up ministries in this church and in the Bible school and whatever else. But as Geraldine was saying, there are things that, you know, you don't know early on. And you think you know because here's the deal. A lot of times we think we know because, you know, we've gone through a Bible school and we've learned a curriculum and all of this. But there's stuff just like with Philip. Apparently he didn't get it. Maybe he was taught it. I don't know. But Stephen was taught the cross and majorly followed that through. But as was said, Philip was, you know, ministry seemed to be the big thing. And he used what he had, but he didn't know that what he didn't have is going to end up, you know, causing some real problems. So, okay, someone else, including on Zoom? Okay, anybody in the audience here? Kelly? Kelly is so humble, she holds her pencil up like this. It's like...
hoping he will see.
Yeah.
It said, full of faith, you know, Stephen and then Philip, like he wasn't included. And I was reading about Peter and John just a couple chapters earlier, how they were ministering together and just so declaring faith in the crucified. I mean, it was just burgeoning. There's faith in this crucified. And I think Philip thought power had to do, like what Jennifer was saying, the same way Simon, the sorcerer, thought. He didn't know the power of, like 1 Corinthians, the power of God is in weakness and foolishness in this. He didn't know what the real power was. And so he was... But then Peter and John, the apostles, come in there, and they know, and they bring it all in. And the Holy Spirit is meant to bring that in, and he didn't even know that. So I just want to say, to me personally, it was a really humbling word. Like, I want to be so in tune with what is real ministry, what is real power, what is the heart of God say, you know, is beautiful in his sight. It just really, really spoke to me. And instead of it being just words I'm saying, the Holy Spirit asked me, you know, to take that into my heart for things to come, that I'd be in tune. So.
Amen. Anyone else on Zoom? Okay. We'll move on. I want to finish off that this thing reflects, and I just noticed I never comb my hair. Does it look too wild? Acts chapter 8 and verse 24. And I think we ended on this, but I want to just catch up there on that. Then answered Simon, and this is Simon the sorcerer. Then answered Simon and said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me." Anybody see a word that was used? Me is used a lot. You know, this contrast is important, and it's going to be even more important as we finish with the next one that we're about to go into. But it's also important, you know, maybe I can find that real quick. I'm going to read that response that I got from AI. Artificial intelligence, chat, GTP. That's what it is. And when I said, I'll just have to read that too. Compare and contrast Philip in the book of Acts in the Bible with Stephen in the Bible to better understand their similarities and differences. Use examples to illustrate your point. And this is the way you use this AI. You treat it like it's somebody alive, you know, and you word everything like that. So this was the response. Stephen and Philip, both mentioned in the book of Acts in the Bible, were prominent figures in the early Christian community. Now, we haven't dealt with the last now place that he's mentioned in the book of Acts, but we will, and we'll go back over this again to illustrate and to emphasize, number one, just getting stuff off the internet and just having a magical program that can dig it all out for you so you don't have to study the Bible or go look everything up, or you can just put it in and it'll give you. It doesn't know the heart of God. It doesn't know what is the true power of God. It doesn't know the mind of Christ. And it will tell you great stuff because it always sounds, well, it doesn't always, because if your prompts are cheesy, your responses are going to be cheesy. But it's not born again. It doesn't know the Lord. It's not even a real person. All right. So, they were prominent figures in the early Christian community. While they share some similarities, such as their faith and involvement in spreading the gospel, there are significant differences in their roles and experiences. One notable similarity between Stephen and Philip is their deep commitment to their faith and their active involvement in spreading the teachings of Jesus. Now, that's questioning. Well, that's questionable right now, because their faith seems to be different as what they believe, and as far as teaching the teachings of Jesus, who taught, except a seed fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it'll bring forth much fruit, and on and on and on and on. And he, you know, except you, you know, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross, and okay. So on and on and on. That's what Jesus is primarily teaching. Yes, he did miracles, and we've had them. We've had one yesterday. I tell you, we get miracles. We had one yesterday. We had a big storm blow through, where do we live? Crum. And it knocked this huge branch down. I mean, it was, you know, and then long and spread, you know, down. And guess where Kelly's truck was? right there underneath it. But when it came down, it hit the basketball court that I put up there 40 years ago when I was 7. And it hit that thing, and it brought that limb down, and it stopped it right where it didn't smash into the hood of the car or break the glass. This thing was huge and was stuck in a place that it did almost no damage, a few little scratches. A few little scratches. And you know, the basketball thing was looked to me like it was like Jesus, because it bore the brunt of the whole thing and got tore up and it got thrown away, but not the car. Well, if you saw it, and I don't know if we took a picture of that or not, yeah. If you saw it, you would go, oh my Lord, poor Kelly, her car's gone, because the branches and everything were so wide and everything, you couldn't tell. You knew it was on top of the car, of the truck, but you couldn't tell of the damage. And so we believe in miracles. We believe the Lord will do stuff. We believe in all of that. I don't have a single problem with that. I have a problem with people that put that before my Jesus and your Jesus, that put that before the Son of God, who, you know, because we go, okay, well, Philip did miracles, you know, so did Simon the leper in my mind. Simon the leper. Anyway, but none of those people anywhere did the miracle. God did the miracle. But we glorify the miracle instead of the God who did the miracle. And that's not right. I don't care. You're not gonna die, go up, stand before a throne, and what's on the throne is this miracle. And you're going to go, oh, you know, thank you for all the miracles that you did. You know, there is no thing like that. There's no weird thing called a miracle sitting on a throne. It's just a slaughtered lamb. Thank you, Kelly. There's just a slaughtered lamb. Oh, my Lord. All right. So, finish this. Both were among the 7 men chosen to serve as deacons in the early Christian community tasked with caring for the needs of the believers. They were described as full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Well, no, they weren't. They weren't. Stephen was described that way. And were known for their devotion and integrity. This is still talking about Philip. So far, is your impression that he is known for his devotion and integrity or for compromising the gospel for a sorcerer and compromising the flock that God had given to him that was there? And then that's enough. I don't need to read the rest of this stuff. You get the idea. I always have to go through this, don't I? So we're in chapter 8, verse 24. And correct me if this is, I'm not reading the right verse. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me. Okay, so... well, of course we expect that from a sorcerer, okay? His emphasis is on himself. He'd been baptized, folks. Who did it? Philip baptized him, you know. He'd been baptized and assumed that he was Christian or whatever, or of God in some manner, but his emphasis is still on himself because he probably wasn't born again. And like Mike said, probably wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Mm-hmm. All right. So I wrote, is this true repentance or trying to get out of trouble? I mean, any of you, when you were a child, did you tell your parents something that you were just trying to get out of trouble and they were trying to get you to repent? Anybody, raise your hand if that ever happened. Me too. You know, y'all may not believe this, but I actually lied to my parents some. Yeah, I know. I know it. That's why I lived in an orphanage. No, that's not why. It was worse than that. Okay. Verses 25 and 26 now. I want to look at that. And they, when they, so this is now talking about Peter and John. Remember? Yeah. They came down and they brought the Holy Spirit. And they did a work, and they took care of Mr. Sorcerer, didn't they? Okay. So they, when they, Peter and John, had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Well, how did they do that? On their way back home, they're not on a mission trip, folks. This is their life. You know, that was just a little short-term mission for us. You know, no, folks, that's a problem. Yes. And I'm not saying I'm like totally against it or anything. It's like anything else. It can have good mixed in with it. But we're given another life who gives his life. Was that said correctly enough? We have been given a life that gives his life. And if that's not going on, or if that's not in our heart or whatever, well, then we don't really understand what we've been given. You know, Jesus said, don't hide, you know, your light under a bushel. Right? Don't be, you know, a house that, what is it, is set on a hilltop is going to be seen. So, so as we're going through these things, it is important that we, by the Holy Spirit, begin to identify not everything that's the devil or everything that's wrong, not in that spirit, but in a heart that wants to seek the Lord, that wants to find the Lord, that has him above everything else, you know? I mean, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow. Then why are we bowing our knee to miracles or other things that are kept pulling us with trying to get our attention? Jesus is worth it. Every one of us, if we're born again, he saved us. And he did it because he gave his life. And then he came into us. We don't even have to give our life. All we have to do is get out of the way. Sure, it's by death, but that's but that he even did the death for us. You know? It's like trying to hand us this, you know. Well, I don't know if I can do that. You're not doing it. Look at his hands closer. They're nail scarred. He did it. Glory to God. And so anyway, I'm just, you know, here they go. They're going off back to Jerusalem. It's just Peter and John, you know. And I know they're talking about the whole thing. They might even be talking a little bit about Philip and going, you know, hey, maybe we need to tighten the requirements a little more or something, you know. But at the same time, man, they're hitting villages in Samaria. Do you know how much trouble they can get for that by the Jews?
That's right.
Huh? Do you? I mean, but it sounds like they're merrily going on their way. It's life to them. And that's the deal. If it's life to you, then life lives. Life lives. And if it's life to you, then the life will carry you. But if you get bogged down in, well, I'm just a mess, or I can't do that, or, you know, and I mean, I have preached, I don't know how many times, that you can't do it. You can't do it. And I still have people come to me for counseling saying, I just can't do this. And I go, I've told you that. I've written, read this book I wrote, you know, whatever. You can't do it. We need to just put a sign out here, the Church of the Can't Doers. Maybe that would convince us to let Jesus do it. See? Hallelujah. In other words, giving glory to the Son who hath given himself, who is willing to give himself even now in us. Anyway, I'm not trying to go long on this. I just keep seeing these two guys walking along, and they're not, they don't have a plan. They don't, you know, they're not going, okay, well, when we go back, we're going to go down 7th Street, and then we're going to cut over where the da-da-da-da is or whatever. I just see them going back home. They're going back to Jerusalem. So, see this guy over here? I mean, the same two guys before this were going into the temple, and there's a crippled guy there, and, you know, he says, you know, got any alms? Give me money. I need help. And they said, silver and gold have we none. Okay, then what do you have? You know, that's what the guy could have said. Well, then what do you have? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You say, well, I would never do that because I'd be afraid nothing would happen. Anybody ever been in that situation? I've been in that situation before, not recently. It's been at least a month ago, but it's been a long time. But you know, I don't want to prophesy or pray for somebody and then nothing happen. You don't do it anyway. Do you see how this is going tonight? This is about the you don't do it night. You just trust him. And you know what? If he doesn't do it at that moment, doesn't mean he's not going to do it. It doesn't. We always, we go, well, okay, we walk away from the prayer line. I thought he was going to do it. I felt faith in me. God's going, I don't speak that language. I don't even know what you're saying. That's called whining. No. Jesus is more precious than silver. Jesus is more precious than gold. Jesus is more precious than our reputation. If he chooses to wait, then we wait on the Lord. I don't know. I think I said this recently to somebody, or maybe I've said it here, but I remember when this church started in our living room, and we were just on our face, and people were weeping and saying, "We want you, Lord. We want you." But after a while, you know, you go a little long, and people are going, "Can we get up and do something now? You know, can we go change the world or whatever?" I had somebody come up to me and said, "You know, when are we going to do something?" I said, "We are doing something." They said, "Well, what are we doing?" I said, "We're waiting on the Lord." And at a certain juncture, and this is absolutely the truth, at a certain juncture, we knew it was time to get up and let it flow, let it come out of us. If we'd have tried to do it before that, it would have been all human hands trying to produce something. But we knew. And, you know, just on a side note, as the senior pastor of this church, God is moving. Remember we had a time where we were talking about the new thing and all this, and so we got some chairs. And we made some of these changes. And now some people are probably thinking, well, what happened to the excitement? And what happened to the movement? It's going on. You may not be in that part of it yet, but you will be. And there will be more coming that might even fit you more. But right now, it's time to step. If he says step, and wait if he says wait. And if he says step back for a little while, it'll be good. Step back and you just say, okay, we're with you, Lord. But it's happening already. I'm sorry. You may not see any of it. But it is happening. And it's happening in us. Yeah, that's right. And it's happening in some that he's going, you know, that he comes upon them and he just lifts their arm and says, okay, go do this. And it's like, okay, you know, all of it is going to converge. Come on, come up. Okay, I'd like somebody here that's got a little bit of faith that God is actually doing what I said. Nobody got faith yet.
I have faith for it. I just want to be in
tune. Okay, well, Lindsay, come on down. Mallory, come up. So maybe you didn't hear, but I asked for anybody that had faith. I didn't ask for you to pray. I just wanted to see somebody or everybody rush towards the front and say, I believe God is in control of this and is heading us in a direction. Because I'm telling you right now, it is. I see the fruit of it, but I'm, anybody ever heard my head goose story? Raise your hand. Okay. Years ago, the Lord showed me that as the senior pastor, as I'm going, it's like I forget what you call the flock. Nah, it's a gander of geese. Okay. And, they're flying south for the summer, or get away from the winter, the cold and all that. And they're flying in a V formation. And I don't know how many of you have seen that. But there's a head goose that's leading the whole thing. And when they're in the heat, he's right there. But all of a sudden, if he goes into a cloud, that line doesn't all go in at the same time. But he feels it. And he goes, oh, it's going to get cooler now. We're going to be moving into a new realm. We're going to be moving into more of what he wants. And the Lord showed me that. And he said, because you're the leader, I'm going to talk to you first. He didn't just pick out Jedidiah out of the wilderness wanderers and say, Jedidiah, I'm going to tell you what's going on. There is no such person. I made that up. He talked to Moses. And he said, this is what's happening, and this is where you're going, and this is how I'm going to move, and I'll back you up. And I feel that, folks. I feel it. I do. I feel it. I know it's coming because it's here. But it's not manifesting yet. But it's already in us. Life, liberty, the pursuit of... Never mind. It's all ours. It's ours now. I am sorry that you don't have enough faith to realize that it's, you know, I'm with him and I want him. Can't you say that both of the same things at the same time? I am with you. I believe that you do have control, but I want you. Yeah. And that's why I appreciated Lindsay's prayer up here. It was a great prayer, wasn't it? It was a great prayer. And, you know, Jesus, when he got ready, you know, somebody's sick and they get him into the house and everything and all these people are whining. You ever read any of that? And Jesus puts them out of the house and keeps the disciples in there with him that have faith to do that. Mike Gentry, is this flowing through your veins, brother? I know that it is. I wish you were here now. I'd sick you on them. Hallelujah. Oh. So, you know, the fruit is starting to already come out. When that starts happening, you know a harvest is coming. But it may not be popping out in your area. You know, I mean, there's different soils in different places, and some of it is more, you know, rich than others. So it's going to start bringing forth earlier. But it doesn't mean, well, you know, all the other trees, fruit trees, going, why isn't this happening to me? What's wrong with me? That's the deal. Whatever's wrong with you went down into the grave with Jesus. It did. That's your life that he took into the grave so he wouldn't have to deal with this stuff. So he could hear us say, yes, Lord. See? But if we just say yes, that's not enough. Because we have to acknowledge that he's the Lord. That we're trusting in him. That we believe that things are all in hand, including timing. Including timing. So, I'm sure the whole church should have heard some of this. Yeah, well, but it's just true. I mean, it's true because it's sad but true, but it's also true. It's true because this is something in God's heart. This isn't something we made up or, you know, I don't care how much you want something. If God didn't put the want in you, then it's just you. Okay? But there are others who are, you know, in that V, a little further back. And so, you know, the head goose turns around and says, quack, quack, meaning this is good. We're heading into some good places, you know. And the third one in the row back, he might look over at the other one opposite him and go, well, I don't feel it. I don't sense it. And especially the guys way at the end of it. They're going, well, you know, I guess we're always going to be left out. You know, I wish, you know, the Bible talks about a holy kiss. I wish there was a holy slap. You know, to the glory of God. I'm not talking about abuse. I'm just saying, just to get our attention a little bit, you know. You know, a little love tap, you know. Wake up, wake up. Oh, my Lord. All right. Well, how much time we got there? Okay. Well, we're going to keep going then. Is that okay?
Yes.
All right. So the movement of God among the Samaritans spread even further by these two apostles and not merely by Philip. Philip gets all the credit. But we have... where does it say movement that is spread even further... Let's see, where's the exact words there? In many villages, it says, of the Samaritans. Many villages. So we go back to this reality that God is in control, and if and of course, Peter and John have seen it before. And Peter has been drug up in front of the Sanhedrin, and he's been threatened and everything else. He knows this is happening. He is not doubting, you know?
Yeah.
And John, bless his heart, he's okay with it.
Yeah.
You know, well, let's do it. Let's just do it. Yeah. Let's walk this thing out. Let's just go and see where the Lord leads us and who he wants us to minister to. We don't see, the deal is, folks, we're not going to just break out into an army and go around and tell everybody about our church.
That's right.
We're not.
Amen.
We're going to tell them about Jesus.
Amen.
We'll let the Lord declare the church. The church is going to declare the Lord.
Amen.
You say, well, that's not going to do much good. You just don't know. There are hungry people that you would never believe was hungry. Somebody that's drinks too much and they're standing outside and you walk up and share Jesus with them. Change their life. Anyway, so, and the angel of the Lord, okay, so here we go, back to Philip, ready? And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Okay, so let's see. Let's see what happens in these verses. Philip, how's this going to affect you? Well, first of all, the Spirit of God isn't talking to you anymore. It's an angel. Okay. Spoke to him and says, go down and meet this Ethiopian is what it's going to be about. Okay, so just in a real quick comparison, think about him leaving this sorcery thing and his little group that he gathered up, and now he's on the move from that one, and where he's headed eventually, for some of you that might know. Now, so watch that path. This, my right hand is the path. Watch that path. But there's another path going at the same time, and it's Philip. I mean, it's Stephen. And Stephen's path is going to lead him to more than baptisms and more than winning, you know, some converts. It's going to do what Jesus said death will do. Life.
Hallelujah.
That's what they need, and that's what we need. Okay, so so I wrote, so God is still open to Philip to use him. Amen?
Yes.
He's a good God.
Yes.
He doesn't give up that quickly on us. We all make mistakes. Some more than others, but no, I'm joking. So verse 27. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip. Why? I got goosebumps. Why did the Spirit speak that all of a sudden? Why was this a big deal to the Spirit of God? The Spirit of God, see, it was an angel that sent him, but now the Spirit goes, okay, out of the way, angel. Out of the way. This is getting into my territory now. See? This is powerful. I mean, it really, really is. Because before Philip even arrives there, and of course God had to send him there, this guy's sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah 53 about the cross. That's why I said, the Holy Spirit went, I got to get there now. I got to get over there now. All right, so verse 29 again. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? In other words, do you understand Isaiah 53? Do you? Do you really? Because it's one of those in the Old Testament, man, you really ought to know. Verse 31, and he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Okay, so you got the eunuch reading Isaiah 53, and you got Philip up there in the chariot with him. Verse 32, the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. Talking about Jesus. And like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, not in his humbling, in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So this is talking about Jesus giving his life. A lesson that it would do Philip good to learn. Verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh this the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And I wrote under here, sounds to me like someone had a little talk with Philip. A couple of guys heading through Samaria right now. And he couldn't have been better set up by God. Finally, you're going to talk about Jesus, you know, and Christ crucified. So verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And of course, now we're back on Philip's wavelength. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, which is good, thou mayest be baptized. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Philip didn't say, if you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The eunuch said that. He said, this is what I got out of reading Isaiah 53. I don't know what you got out of it. That's what I got out of it. I wrote, Philip is still baptizing, but at least on a new basis, based on Isaiah 53. All right, verse 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him, and I wrote, but only in water. He did baptize him, but only in water. Didn't baptize him in the Holy Spirit. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. That the eunuch saw him no more. It's like, maybe he'll run into a couple of apostles wandering around the neighborhood. And he went on his way rejoicing, but Philip was found at Azotus. And passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Okay, but it doesn't say what he preached. Still didn't say that. It didn't say he suggested that the eunuch get baptized in the Holy Spirit, which was the first thing Peter and John did with the Samaritan. The first thing. It's like, let's do this. Make sure they're filled with the Holy Spirit. When I say the first thing, they'd already been baptized in water by Philip, and us presumably saved. So the first thing that the apostles did was make sure they got filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay. And again, because they were there on the day of Pentecost, and they saw how the addition of the Holy Spirit made the Bible pop. Made it pop. All right. So, all right. I think I am going to stop right here because I've yelled at you enough, and I know y'all are sick and tired of being sick and tired. So, all right. Believe it, folks. Believe it. Believe what God's doing here, and believe what he's doing here, and believe what he's doing here, because the Father's heart intention is more of Jesus, less of us. And then it's going to be when there's more of Jesus and less of us, then we're usable. So don't worry about your less. Seriously, don't worry. Jesus has already handled all that. Don't worry about it. Just keep your heart on Jesus. And when flies come around, shoo them away. Don't let them crawl on your food or your face. Do y'all understand what I'm talking about? What strange language this is that I'm using here. All right. Anybody have anything to say before we close down here? Deb.
Next Thursday, you will have no class.
All right. Next Thursday, I will not have a class because I'll be in conference in Arkansas up there with J.W. Lumen. Fun city. And the VBS will be going on. So, little break before the nightmare. I mean the fun. So, Kelly, you don't have anything to say about the VBS since we're getting close?
Amen to everything God's doing. Like, it's scheduled.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking that you know, there's not going to be any class, and this might be a prelude to something.
Sure, I appreciate that. I'm sure the Lord's trying to knock me on the head here until I make an announcement.
Okay, let me pray for all this stuff. Father, you do have a lot going on already. You have people that are giving themselves and laying down their lives and helping and ministering and prepared to do whatever it takes, and those who will be hurting the kids, Father. We ask your blessing upon them, all, not the kids yet, but those who are facilitating this for them. Father, that you would let your light shine through and that your heart for the children would shine through to them. Father, that things that will be said or shared or a spirit that will be imparted to some, Father, they'll remember it all the days of their life and maybe years and years later come to you or come and get saved while they're here and then maybe years later realize, I got saved when I was so-and-so age. Father, thank you for these opportunities. Thank you for an opportunity to give ourselves through your Son, through the given one who never ceases to give himself. And thank you for the kids, so just cover them and minister life to them. And for the parents that come, Father, just may it be a wonderful spiritual experience for them that would touch their heart, Father. And Father, beyond those things, areas that maybe we haven't thought of yet, areas that you have in your heart to move. We ask you, we give you full reign to move in any manner that you wish to do so. And we love you, and we love the Spirit of God that lifts you up so magnificently. So may the Spirit of God fill each and every one of them. And we thank you. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.